All right, fighters, check it out. One of the biggest problems that we have as contractors is finding qualified people and training them and this and that. Today, I want to introduce you to Thomas Mormon. He is he's with Perfect Technician Academy. They're an HVAC school. They're down in Texas, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff to attract younger people into the trades and also veterans into the trades. And the reason I had him on, full disclosure here, guys, is just the transition from the military to civilian life that could be pretty tough on veterans. A lot of times we take some of our skills and we don't know where to apply them. Other times we have this false impression that you can actually come out of the military and work in the trades and make money. And we get into some of those things. We talk about how to maybe reach out and find some of those right people and just really open our eyes to organizations like Perfect Technician Academy. I know not every trade has trade school and stuff like that, but guys, we had a good talk about some good ammunition that I think was valuable for you guys as far as your recruiting efforts and things like that. So anyway, guys, check out the show notes if you're interested in them and what they have going on. With all that being said, here's Thomas Mormon. Thomas, what's going on? Welcome to the fight, man.
Well, thank you for having me here today. We're just having a hot day in Texas.
Yeah, is that like every day down there?
Every day until October, I guess. Anytime between March and October, it's a hot day.
There you go. Yeah, I'm in Colorado Springs, and we'll probably hit 90 today. But we don't have any humidity or anything like that, so we're good. So
yeah.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you carving out the time to get here. I'd love to dig into what you guys have going on at the Perfect Technician Academy. But before that, I'd love to just get a little bit of your background and how you ended up here.
Sure. So just a little bit of my background, start from the very beginning. Actually, I was born overseas on a military base. My dad was career Navy, served from 1941 to 1975. His last service station was here in Texas. So I've lived in Texas pretty much my entire life after moving back here. He was from Ohio originally, but decided he liked the warmer climate versus the colder climate. And so here we are. Now, I've worked in higher education. So one of my things, my dad always used to tell me, when you turn 18, Thomas, you have two choices. You can join the priesthood or the military, but you're on your own. You figure it out. I had six brothers and sisters. And so, there weren't a lot of extra resources around the house, things like that. And I had a child, I had an eye injury. And so I have no peripheral vision in one eye. So the military really was never questioned as a possibility. So I actually went and studied to be a Catholic priest for 2 years and decided, nope, that's not really a possibility for me either. But really in the time I went to the seminary, I studied under some Jesuit priests. So there are 21 guys with seven Jesuit priests. And during that time, the Jesuit priests really instilled in me a passion for education and knowledge and seeking knowledge. And one of the great lessons that I learned from them was just because you read something in a textbook, don't assume it's true. And so that gave me a passion to really question things. And so then I started getting into higher education and got involved in academia and really enjoyed that. And so I ended up getting my undergraduate degree, a master's degree, and then I finished my doctoral degree and worked in higher education in the state of Texas for 28 years. I retired from the state of Texas as a vice provost for academic initiatives from the University of North Texas system. Mm-hmm. And, when I was in that process, I met Brett Hobson, who was starting this air conditioning school. And they're really newly formed. They've been around for a few years trying to just get things started. And he said, would you think about coming and helping me out, create this school and get it going in the right direction? And I said, trade schools really have a bad reputation around higher education. They're known to bring in the masses, graduate a small percentage, and then place a small percentage. I said, Brett, I'm willing to do it if you're willing to change that paradigm. And so there's a couple things that I have interest in, and let's pursue those and see where that goes. One is, if we're going to do a trade school, we're going to try to find the right students, enroll the right students as best we can to focus on trying to graduate 100% of the students that we bring in and place in jobs 100% of the students that graduate. So one of our goals, we've created all these partnerships with contractors around the country so that when we have students graduating, we can place them wherever they want to work in the United States. And so we're really working on that. The other piece was, as I said, there's a lot of military guys out there that are transitioning out of the military. And this was a personal thing for me because I still remember when we moved off the base in 1975. Mm-hmm. Life was great on the base. My dad had worked his way up from enlisted into an officer position. Everything was on the base. Everything was controlled. It was a wonderful environment to be in. We moved out into the regular world and didn't know what to do. And think, you know, we kind of spiraled a little bit. My dad thought it'd be really easy to get another job. That really didn't work out for him. He never actually took a paycheck from somebody else after he left the military. Mm. And so things got a little bit difficult. My mom ended up going back to work. Eventually, she started working for Dodds in the school system and went back overseas and traveled around Germany for 25 years after that on military bases overseas. So I've seen the military from this perspective of being a military brat and then also as an adult with my mom working overseas and other things. And there's so many people that come into the military and when they start to transition out, struggle. And if we can do something to help minimize that struggle, we're going to be doing a benefit, not just to that individual, not just to their immediate family and their extended family, but to the communities that they live in. And that's really what it's about. Let's make a difference for the communities in two ways. One, give these guys a great opportunity for a great income. And two, bring good quality people into the HVAC industry so that this industry can thrive. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I remember getting out of the Marine Corps. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know the transition was tough for a lot of reasons. And I know so many veterans that struggle with that, which is ultimately really the reason you're here today. Honestly, I mean, I certainly have a heart for that. There's so many amazing men and women that have been through so much. They've added so much value to the country and to the people in this country. I think all in all, we got to do a better job of supporting them. I mean, you know, depression and suicide and all that stuff is high. There was a report I even saw a couple of years ago. I think it was from 2018. I'm going to butcher the exact numbers, but the construction industry as a whole, out of all the occupations in the United States, had the highest suicide rate. And then I throw on top of that, what if you're in the construction industry and you're a veteran, right? And you got some of those issues. So, you know, and that's what we do here in the fight is all about controlling what's between our ears and helping us be mentally strong and get the support that we need and things like that. So before we get into the veteran piece, something you said a couple minutes ago was you started this trade school trying to attract the right people into it.
Exactly.
Finding help right now in the trades is a gargantuan task for so many business owners. And I wish the general public understood the opportunities that are here in the trades. You know, you don't have to go to college. You don't have to go into debt. I mean, there's millions and millions of young people that are getting out of school right now that have no clue what they really want to do. And they don't even look at this as a viable option for many reasons. I think our education system has drilled it into your head that it's a good fallback option, not a plan A.
Right.
I think another thing that contributes, and this is just my own opinion, is I did everything I could do to get out of the trades when I was a kid because every guy in the trades I knew was tired, dirty, and broke. Okay. and my friends' dads who were doctors and lawyers and things like that, they seemed to have it all together. They had lots of money. They were always going on vacations. So I truly believe that one of the reasons that it's hard to attract people is they don't think you can make money. But I'm curious, what would you tell whatever contractor right now that's trying to build his team, trying to attract people, how would you go about finding quote unquote that right candidate?
Yeah. So one of the things that I believe in is really values-based hiring. And so, you know, a lot of people, I want that guy with 5 years experience. That's what you hear from the contractors all the time. I want someone who already has experience. And then I don't have to do a lot of training. I said, yeah, well, that's if they know what they're doing with those 5 years experience. If they came into it and they don't know what they're doing, they've done 5 years of not knowing what they're doing, it's not really going to help you.
Right.
I'd rather you find the people that have the good work ethic, that have good integrity and moral values, the guy who's going to treat people with respect. And find that guy that you feel, hey, they fit, the guy or gal, I mean, honestly, that fits with your business.
Right.
And then send them to us. Let us train them with the industry where we don't have to train the wrong skills out of them. We train the right skills into them and then send them to you. And so I said, working with these contracts, we have several contractor partners around the country. One of the things I try to tell them is, especially those around military bases, get involved with some of these transition programs to those military bases, because there's a lot of quality guys out there that have great technical skills that just need to transition to the industry. And so you can do some interviews, meet them, and say, if that guy has the values that you're looking for, then send him some to a trade school to get the training, whether it's HVAC for us or plumbing, electrical, it doesn't matter. Find that values fit and then get them the training, and that guy's going to have loyalty. They're going to stick with you. They're going to work with you. It's really going to be great for the industry. So that's one of my things. I think there's so many people, and the example I use a lot is, I was on Fort Bliss where they have a lot of the Army infantry guys there. Mm-hmm. And I met with this one guy and he's like, everyone's telling me that I should use my GI Bill to go to college and on and on and on. And said, I wasn't good in high school. I joined the Army because I didn't want to go to college.
Right.
And I don't want to go back to school. I just feel lost. I said, okay, so, tell me about a Patriot missile system. What does it have in it? And he starts talking about the technology and the electronics and the cooling parts of it. And, the radar systems and all these different pieces that, make that function the way it does. And I said, if you have the technical skills to repair that, I guarantee you we can shift that into technical skills to fix a home air conditioning system. It's not nearly as technical.
Right.
You get that mindset shift and say, wow, how long does it take me to do that? Do I have to go to college for 2 years? What do I have to do? I said, really, we can do the training you need in about 6 weeks if we do the intensive training. And so we've really created our training model after the military training model where it's full immersion. It's 6 days a week, 6 weeks long, 8 to 10 hour days, 2 hours of homework every night. I mean, you're living and breathing air conditioning during that time. And then you get out and you're practicing it right away. So you don't have the loss of knowledge you have if you do a 2-year program and things, the first 3 months of that program, you need to reteach it in the last 3 months or it's gone. So
that makes total sense. So I know there's also, since you're coming from that academic world, I want to pick your brain on this because what low hanging fruit or tips can you give a contractor business owner who has got a team of people, but he needs put together some training for them. Maybe he's not part of a trade school like this. Maybe he's a painting contractor. He's a flooring guy, whatever it is. Yeah. What's a simple, and I don't mean to minimize the complexity of a training program. I know there's a lot of facets to it, but let's call it what it is. A lot of guys in the trades, we're good with our hands. We're, good with people or whatever it is, but putting together training, say you're in an industry that doesn't have something like you guys have, what are some must-haves to an employee training program that you would recommend?
So, I would say the technical skills are important, but fundamentally the people skills are just as important. And so, depending on what position that person's in, but most technicians are also your salespeople in many ways. And so their ability to relate to customers is very important. And so I think working on some of that relational aspect is going to be valuable. And one of the particular aspects that I think people have a hard time is when they go to make that sale. We know that, hey, our family, we may not have a lot of extra money. So me asking this family for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to either repair or replace a major system in your house or do these things, that can be an uncomfortable position for a lot of people who haven't done that regularly. And so kind of working through some of that human resource training, that customer service training and the sales piece and understanding why, a service call is going to cost what it costs. Mm-hmm. And, simply the explanation of, you have a call center and understand the cost you have to pay for the call center, the advertising, just to get a truck in front of someone's house is about $250. Yeah. And you have to realize that in order to say, okay, me asking for $500 to repair this is not really out of the question, because of what it takes in order to get someone to that door. And so I think it's helping them understand the totality of the business, not just the job they do. And when you understand the larger picture, it makes it easier to do some of the things day to day and feel more confident about it and feel like you're doing a job with integrity and doing the right thing for that customer. I think that's a big piece of it to me, is the customer relation piece. But the technical skills, most times you're going to be able to teach those, no problem. I mean,
yeah, it's funny. We, I come from the painting industry. They don't give a crap how good the paint job is if everything around it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you didn't communicate well, if the cleanup, if you were rude to the dog, if you, you know, whatever, all
it's, the guy kept parking in my driveway. I mean, exactly, you know, sometimes it's just little things like that, that you just gotta, you know, hey, you know, when you go to the door, you know, your appearance walking to the door. I mean, all those things, the first time, that first impression is very important. And so working on, you know, making that a conscious thought, I'm going to consciously choose to make a good first impression. So,
and this might lead right into the next thing here, but I want to talk a little bit about the stigma around the blue collar industry as a whole.
Yeah.
Wave a magic wand. What do you do to level that up?
You know, I think people are starting to pay attention, and by changing the paradigm of what trade schools do, if we can get that moving, shifting along, that's going to help as well. But one of the things I tell people, and this is how I talk to the college student or the guy who's thinking, I'm not sure about this. You know, I'm thinking about going to college. My parents really want me to go to college, but, you know, I really don't want to do that, or, you know, whatever. I'll sit down and talk to them, and I'll say, okay, let's talk about economics first off. And a lot of times parents will hear it and they'll say, wow, I never thought of it that way. Let's talk about the economics of going to college. You're going to spend 4 years in college. You're going to have to pay cost of living plus tuition, everything else. Probably for those 4 years at a minimum, it's going to cost you and your family about $100,000.
Right.
You may take out $30,000 in loans. You may take out the whole $100,000 in loans. I don't know. It depends on your situation and how you're going to do that. You take out a college loan, it's at 6 to 8% interest. All right. So if you take out $30,000 in loans at 6 to 8% interest, it's going to take you a little while to pay it back.
Right.
But if you go to a trade school for 6 weeks, you're going to have a job after the end of those 6 weeks. So I said, okay, let's go look at the Department of Labor statistics. What does the Department of Labor tell you that an average college graduate makes? $47,000 a year. What does the Department of Labor tell you that the average air conditioning technician makes? $47,800 a year. All right. So now they've been working 4 years while you've been 4 years in school. They've made $200,000 in the same period now that you're $30,000 in debt.
Right.
The reality is that there's great opportunities to make a great living in different ways. And people assume that the trades are minimum wage. They're not. If you're talented, you have the skills, you're willing to work hard, you can make a really good living. I worked in medical education for 25 years of the years in higher education. And I will tell you that I know 28-year-olds in the air conditioning business that make as much as my family physician that was treating me makes. Mm-hmm. So the reality is there's great opportunities. I mean, and it's a matter of how you apply yourself and if you're willing to work hard, because it is hard work. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Mike Rowe will tell you, you find something that someone doesn't want to do, that dirty job, someone's going to pay good
someone
money
pay.
For someone else
Absolutely.
To do it.
I'm thinking of a guy I know, kid I know, who he was 2 years out of high school. He went to a trade school. And I want to say 18 months, maybe 2 years after he got out of the trade school, his W-2 income was over 90 grand. He was still living at home. Banking money, and he's setting the world on fire right now financially, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's so many great opportunities there. All right. So veterans.
Yeah.
What do you see in there? What's the challenges? What's the hurdles? And what do you do about it?
The biggest hurdle is for people to realize that these opportunities are out there, because even within the military and most of the military transition programs that they do, the TAPS programs, things like that, they talk to them solely about going to college, using your GI Bill, go to college, get a degree, better your life. And I want to tell them, I said, college isn't for everyone. As a college administrator, I saw this many times. There's a lot of kids that come to college that really didn't want to be there. They're there because someone told them that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you're not motivated to do something, if you don't have a passion about what you're doing, it's going to be very hard to be successful at it. And so working with these military guys, one of the things that you see is they have a lot of the soft skills that you want for the industry. I mean, you know, they wear a uniform really well. They clean up really well.
Yes, they do.
Their van, their tool bag, it's neat, it's organized, it's together. You know, these are all things that you can't just teach someone really out there to do. These are things that they inherently have learned in the process of being indoctrinated through the military, that discipline of how things need to be and keeping that tidy, keeping it right. So you have access to things.
Yep.
They clean up their messes. They, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Well, they have a habit. They also have a habit of being on time.
And
for
being
however,
on time. I mean,
however long they've been in the service, they've been on time. You know, I mean, that's.
If they tell you to be there, you're there, because if you're not, the consequences could be pretty dire. And so the reality is that these soft skills that most contractors and all these trade industries are looking for, these military guys have those skills. And so you're crazy if you're not looking towards them to try to fill opportunities. Now, for the military guy, it's changing that mindset and saying, okay, many of them think, well, that's a minimum wage job and I can't make minimum wage. I've got to, I expect to be at this level pretty quickly. I said, yeah, the reality is if you do well, you will get to that level very quickly, but you've got to start somewhere, but it's not going to be minimum wage. I promise you that. You're going to be, two, three, four times minimum wage, depending where you are and where you're working. Mm-hmm. That's the piece, the hurdle to get over for many of them is that. And the other is that many contractors pay a piece rate or pay on commission. So the number of jobs you do, you get more based on the number of jobs you do. And a lot of the military guys, they feel more comfortable with the salary. They want that, know exactly what that paycheck's going to be. And I promise you, you can go work in commercial air conditioning and you can make a good living. But if you come and work in residential air conditioning under a piece rate plan, you're going to make twice as much in the long run. Yeah. And so it's a matter of changing that mindset and getting past that security, that piece, that need for that security.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big, it's back to the money thing we talked about earlier. People don't just generally understand the potential that's here. And which is why they don't automatically think of the trades as a viable option, whether they're coming out of school or coming out of the military. And I think you also shared you might come in at the entry level new guy spot, right? But those skills that you've developed in the military, the leadership skills, the personal development you've gone through, that gives you an edge. Totally gives you an edge over other people. I think, I'm going to make a blanket statement here, and I know there's exceptions. So whoever's listening, don't get all butthurt or whatever here. Okay. But military people tend to be way more resilient because they're used to shit going wrong. They're used to an obstacle. They're used to, an ambush. They're used to here's the plan, here's the mission. And then the minute you step foot out the door, it changes because of a million things. They're used to being,
adapt just, and overcome.
Absolutely. And I think that is a great quality to have and a huge value to any team that you're going to join outside of the military is being able to just understand that, I think the emotional intelligence of a lot of people that haven't been in the military is sometimes lower because there might be a little more entitlement or whatever it is. And, right. I'm not going to get all crazy into that.
I agree with you. There's no doubt. I'm right there with you. And the thing that people don't realize is when the owner of the company sees you adapt and overcome, guess who they want in their leadership positions down the road, who they want to be their crew leaders, not just the person on the front line doing the work. I said, those are the kind of things, the doors open for you when you take that kind of initiative, when you put yourself out there, and the military guys are really set to move forward in those directions.
Yeah. 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 We're absolutely, I'm a Marine, so I'm already, I think I'm better than everybody originally with that. Right. So
My lead recruiter over here is a Marine. He doesn't need me here at all. Yeah.
We have an edge. If you're in the military, you have an edge and you'll move up that ladder. If you want those leadership positions, or if you don't want a leadership position, you want to be a tech and get paid piece rate and all that stuff and make a shit ton of money and go home at the end of the day, there's not an employer in the trades that wouldn't want a person like that.
That's right.
So
if you're reliable, that's the number one thing they're looking for is that reliability.
Yep. Let me ask you this. Before we get out of here today, I'll give you a minute here to kind of share where we can find you guys and what you're doing and stuff. But what should I have asked you, or what should we have touched on that we didn't?
Let's see. I guess we've talked a lot about the things that I normally like to talk about is the economics of it and that. But I think something that people need to realize or look at is that the transferability of the skills that you get when you come into the trades is, for example, I had one guy came in, he wasn't a military guy, but he came in when he's 18, went to trade school, and he's paid for his entire college by working in the summer as an HVAC tech and then going to college. It's something that once you have that skill and that knowledge, you will always have an opportunity for a job. Mm-hmm. For air conditioning has been deemed an essential service during this pandemic.
Yeah.
Realize that You know, we've had a lot of people, the oil industry's down. I've had 20% of my students right now are all coming from the oil industry into HVAC because, hey, I know that I'll have a job.
Yeah.
Even in the pandemic, before the pandemic, we had 60,000 openings in air conditioning. Right now in the pandemic, if you go into Indeed, there's at least 30,000 jobs open in the air conditioning industry right now. The reality is there's always going to be a need for people in the trades. And so, you know, if you want to be in a position where you're going to have opportunities for employment and that transferability of that employment anywhere in the United States, look at the trades. Those options are always going to be there.
I love it. That's amazing because, you know, just about every contractor I know right now, their biggest hassle is finding good people. Mm-hmm. And they'll hire people and people won't show up or they don't want to get dirty. They don't want to work hard. What, man, I tell you what, you don't mind putting in a little bit of work and bringing a great attitude and those soft skills that we talked about, you will never, ever have an issue making money. In any economy. That's great stuff. Well, Thomas, where can people reach out to you and find more about what you got going on and how you're helping veterans and all that other stuff, man?
So for us, I'd say the best ways to reach out to us are go to our website, perfecttechnicianacademy.com, or just go on YouTube and type in Perfect Technician Academy. And there's a whole bunch of testimonials from veterans and others about the school. I encourage you to watch a few of those. Just understand what we're about, who we are, and get a good feel for us. If you reach out to us through our website, one of our team will reach back to you very quickly.
I love it. Well, I super appreciate you making the time to be here today. And it was cool learning more about what you guys got going on. And guys, if you're listening to this, and maybe you're in a trade, right? If you're listening to this, you're a contractor of some sort. Maybe you work for one. Maybe you want to change, right? You want to change your pace, get into a new industry. I've been thinking about HVAC or whatever it is. Head to the links that we'll put in the show notes and learn more. So, Thomas, I appreciate you hanging out with us here today. And we'll keep sharing your stuff for you. Guys, you guys rock. We got to roll. We'll talk to y'all next time on the Pike.